Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Hey, Good Doctor fans. Welcome back to the Good Doctor After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we are breaking down Season 2, Episode 9, Empathy. We will be talking about, do you need empathy to be a good doctor? And we're also going to be talking about what may be the boldest story this show has ever told. So stick around.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome back, Good Doctor fans. Thank you so much for tuning in. We always appreciate, we love talking about this show. And let me just start off. I am Veronica Valencia, and joining me today on the panel we have...
Finally, I'm back with the family.
She's back,
yes,
everyone!
Life is on a normal balance now, but again, I am Tequila Jackson.
It's so good to have you back.
It's so good to be back. Thank you.
No problem, but obviously no Carlina this week.
No!
So it's like you guys are on opposite schedules right now.
Hopefully it'll be the three of us finally next week, and we'll continue from there.
We will be back next week, and it will be all great. Coming up later in the show, we are going to be talking all about this the craziness of these patient cases this week. All of our characters are working on their empathetic natures, the twist to the new chief of surgery, and we also have some special segments. We will dive into our favorite Sean moments, our favorite Sean lines, and we will actually be starting a new one today where we highlight a real life good doctor, and Tequila will have that for us. But before we get into to any of that. Tequila, what did you think about this episode?
I think it was a lot of... I really like the topic, and we'll get into it more, but the empathy word. Like, how do you show it? When do you show it? Is it good? Is it bad? Does it really cloud your judgment? So I think I'm really ready to focus on and to hear what feedback we can get from the viewers about empathy.
Exactly. I agree with you. I think this was such a... interesting episode because of that, and I feel like sometimes empathy can be it's good, and they address it like, do you need it to be a good doctor, or does it get in the way? I feel like some people have mixed signals, like, oh, it's very good to connect with your patients. Other times it could be very risky because maybe you become too involved.
Definitely.
And I felt like some of the cases this week were very intense. I mean, I know that we've had intense patient cases in the past, but some of these ones were very bold.
Yes.
But obviously the good doctor writers addressed them with such care. So let's actually get into one of the first ones, maybe on a little bit of a lighter note.
Okay.
So this episode starts off with Sean and Glassman, and Sean taking away his driver's license. What did we think about this interaction between Sean and Glassman, and Sean kind of becoming more involved in his recovery / memory loss?
I think he is, and I think the roles have reversed, to which you see Sean now being the adult, and mm-hmm. Dr. Glassman, not necessarily the child, but he does have to be... They, meaning Sean and his oncologist, have to fight against him for the betterment of his health and his good. And he seems to be in a stubborn place right now, not really knowing if he's telling the truth about his healing and recovery just so he can get back to normal life and not have to deal with the process of totally recovering. But I love the dynamic. I love it. And I don't know if Dr. Glassman is appreciative of it quite yet. I don't think he is, again, because he's still in his own way. But I just love that Sean is taking charge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard. How do you tell essentially your father figure, your mentor, like, give me your license? This is not good for you. I don't really know if this is actually memory loss or not, but here, hand it over. Or I'm going to call, what did he was going to call
DMV.
The DMV and put a report on him that he shouldn't be out driving. That is very hard to do, but also the necessity of taking care of someone you love and making sure their well-being is always first, regardless of whatever fight you have to go through with them. So I love the dynamic.
Yeah. I was actually going to ask, because you have been gone for the last few episodes, is how have you been reacting to Glassman's journey with him, essentially what you said, with him fighting his doctors, him fighting everyone around him?
Initially, I felt empathetic.
Yeah.
Because I've never been through cancer, but I had a friend who went through breast cancer. And just to see how she still had to be a mother, and then she still had to deal with herself, and how she still had to be a wife and still deal with, I don't want to say herself, but deal with what she was going through as be eventually becoming a breast cancer survivor. But just in the turmoil of it all, it's, you don't want to hear, you don't want to listen. It's hard to keep your spirits up. And for you to be such a leader at one point, as Dr. Glassman is in his own life and as his role in the hospital, I felt empathetic to him. I felt that it was going to be a journey for him. I just didn't want it to be. I'm annoyed now because it's mm-hmm. been expanded for too long for me. And I'm like, why are you fighting this? Because after you go through the stages of grief, at the end, I would think that he knows the process. You know the process. Go through the stages, definitely. I don't want to negate and take the journey away from you, from your brain tumor and having to recover, but you know the process. So why are you fighting, especially Sean and your oncologist, the two people that actually care about you? Your oncologist, you went directly to yeah. and told her that, you know, if anybody's going to operate on me, it's going to be you
because I can't
really
do
it
trust.
Myself.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then I feel like he knows Sean would never hurt him. Sean would never put him in the to make a decision to hurt him or put him in the position to actually hurt him. It's all for his good. So now I'm like, okay, Come on. Stop fighting. Stop being so stubborn. Either let them in to the point where they can actually help you heal, because I think that's what he needs. I think he's fighting mm-hmm. being vulnerable and showing that side of himself. But I'm annoyed at this yeah. point now.
I would, we've kind of talked about this, but I would have to agree with you. Like, in the beginning, of course, you feel very sympathetic because here's a man who was a top brain surgeon. He was the president of a hospital. And then he gets, you know, a very, very severe type of cancer, and it's basically taking all that away from him. And he kind of feels like he's left with nothing. So, of course, you feel sympathetic towards his pain and all the hardships that he's going through. But at the same time, it's coming to a point where you really want him to take charge of his health and not be, as you were saying, yeah. stubborn to the fact that because of that trait of his, it could affect his recovery because he's not being honest, and he doesn't know by not being honest like what it could lead to. We know that he wants to feel like he's the same doctor that he was before, but it's kind of better to maybe put that aside a little bit so he can put his health as a priority yeah. and go from there instead of thinking I'm the same person, even though clearly there is something that they need to start monitoring in your recovery.
I think he just needs someone outside of maybe his oncologist, and I can't remember her name right now.
I think
Debbie. Okay, thank you. And Sean to give him another outlook, another perspective, more hope on life maybe even. He just needs another outlet, and they seem like the police in his life right now. And I think he's a little tired and annoyed of that too, which mm-hmm. is why he's so resistant to maybe let them help him and or listen to their advice. But I just I'm ready for whatever turn is going to mm-hmm. happen in that whole dynamic.
Did you think it was right for Sean to, I guess that was a kind of an aggressive move to take, just flat out say, I'm taking away your license, and if you don't, here's my threat, I'm calling the DMV.
I loved it. I do think it was right, because I'm like, well, did he lose his wallet or not? Or is he telling the truth? Can he mm-hmm. tell? Can he tell that he's telling the truth or not? Or is he now just trying to, within himself, like, okay, I really did have a memory lapse, but I don't want to let it out because they're going to make it bigger than what it necessary is, which needs to be let out. But I love that Sean took charge. Again, because he does it in his Sean way, if that
yeah.
makes sense.
Yeah.
So it wasn't harsh, but it was still direct. And if anything, we know when Sean says something, he's going to do it and he's going to see it mm-hmm. through. So I think that was the part where Dr. Glassman, once he brought up the DMV part, it was like, okay, he gave in and gave him his license. But no, I loved it.
No, I agree. I completely loved it. I thought it was incredibly necessary. Mm-hmm. Later on in the episode, when he kind of mentions to Sean, you taking away my license also took away my independence.
Yeah.
That was very hard to hear. But at the same time, I think it was very smart, because when when he was asking to take away his license, I kind of had that moment of, I know people have experienced this where it's like they're driving and it's like they end up at home and they have that moment of like, how did I get here?
Yes.
Like you just kind of completely zone out. And that's dangerous because it's like, you were zoning out, you weren't paying attention. And granted, I have no idea what his recovery is like,
right.
But that was kind of like what I maybe assume maybe Sean was thinking, like, oh, if you're having these memory losses, you're not fully aware of what's going on around you, and driving is very dangerous. So I thought it was great for Sean to take that away.
I think you're accurate. I'm sorry. I think that the point where, so like I told you, I've been annoyed and I'm like, oh, come on, Dr. Glassman, come on, Dr. And that's how I'm watching it and talking to the television. Mm-hmm. But when he did say the point where he had his first car at 16 and he saved
$1,255
whatever to get his first car. And I was like, yes, yes, because I have that same motivation and that same mm-hmm. feeling, that independence. My parents gave me my first car, but the car that you purchase on your own, it does give you that feeling of like success and independence and just kind of like relief that you're entering into your maturity and your adulthood. So that was the part where I was like, oh man, I shouldn't be so hard on him, because now I understand why he was fighting so hard to not want to give his license away. But again, ultimately in the end, it is the best decision, because I've had those moments where I'm just driving. I'm like, I don't remember passing Ralph's. I don't remember passing, you know, my landmarks and going home, but it happened and I'm here. And I'm like, oh, well, thank God I didn't, you know, get into an accident or cause anything else. Because sometimes you do have those moments, regardless if you're just zoned out while you're driving, mm-hmm. if it's a meditative state. Sometimes people just zone out while they're driving, and or whatever other distraction that could come while you're driving. You're just fatigued, if that maybe even. But yeah, I think it was a great point that he still ended up taking his license at the end.
And it also kind of tied into the other storyline that we see with Sean and Leah, and Leah teaching Sean how to drive.
Oh, gosh.
Which was quite the experience.
Yes.
But I loved that. The whole Sean trying to learn how to drive. And him, of course, him and his Sean way finding a way to relate it to surgery and being a doctor. And everything he was saying was complete in one ear, not the other, because I didn't understand. It was like, you found a way to make it work.
Yes.
And I loved that.
Spoken his language. You know, mm-hmm. he is a surgeon. So that's how you get to him on many levels. If you can compare the two and use make it symbolize what he does in the OR at the hospital during his job, then it kind of relates to him better, because you've seen like that light bulb go off on him and you've seen the excitement and like his whole aura. And he's like, oh, I got it. And I can't remember any of the medical terms he used while he was talking to Leah, but you see like the connection in his mind going through. But the experience, especially when she took him first to drive in and he's trying to tell her about, well, no, even she's like, even though it's the broken line, you can now make your right turn because you're not, mm-hmm. it's not illegal now, I'm in the biker lane. And he's like, no. And then the people are getting behind him and going, I felt so nervous, like, oh, just stop, pull over. And I have those moments too, to where I think to me, when I'm driving, it's where people are lost mm-hmm. and they just want to stop or they slow down to a stop. And I'm like, no, you're impeding traffic in this way. Pull over.
That's what
the curbs, the gas stations, the convenience stores, pull over. Waze, GPS, Google Maps, whatever you need to at that point, get yourself set and then get back on the road. But I felt like, have you ever taught somebody how to drive?
No.
So
I have not had the pleasure. Not yet.
I don't hold off on the pleasure. I taught my 16-year-old cousin how to drive. And when we first went, you know, it's like usually just like an empty parking lot. So it's nobody around and you're okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when she got her permit and we're out on the main road, I'm like, okay. So I gave her strict directions, but I think it was mainly for my comfort too, because, you know, you don't have the brake on your side. She's in control. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what did I tell her? I said, okay, you can't go above 35 miles an hour. And you got to turn the radio off. And I gave her all these rules. But then when you see, it's like you're having anxiety too, and I'm sure she was as well. And it's kind of like a tug and pull, like, when do I say and when do I not say? When do I let her make this right turn or tell her she got over too soon or she didn't get over soon enough? Now there's people behind us. Now we got to wait in our immediate driving lane to get over to the right, to make a right turn. You know, all of that comes with driving. But I like how Leah kept her cool. And she didn't, even when Sean, the car's horn started blaring, he's seen like the soccer kids and they're making noise, everything started getting him flustered, she still kept her cool. Mm-hmm. And that is the main thing, because if you're driving with someone who does kind of freak out when things start happening, horns or lights, the fire trucks coming by, the police, the ambulance, whatever. It is necessary to still keep cool so that their attention is on their driving and not on what else is going around, because tragic things could happen. Mm-hmm. But I loved how she was still the teacher, how she still she soothes him in a way that no one else kind of does yet. So I love that aspect of the episode.
Mm-hmm. And I love how the relationship is growing. And speaking of growing, our network is constantly growing, and we have so many shows to share with you. I'll let Tequila take it away.
Of course. Hey, AfterBuzzers. Our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There's no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we do need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, please don't be, because they're optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments, and we'll thank you on air. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Thank you.
Of course.
Now let's dive into the patient case revolving around Melendez, Morgan, and Claire. Yeah. The young man who has devious,
thoughts,
evil,
was it, or
evil
yeah.
thoughts. Now, I honestly, like I had mentioned before, I feel like the Good Doctor has presented very intense patient cases that have ended up with kind of very intense results, you know, such as I think of recently with Morgan and her patient, and mm-hmm. when her patient lost the arm. I thought that was a very intense situation. But this one, I feel, is very bold storytelling.
Definitely.
Because it tests not only the characters, but I feel like it tests the audience. What was kind of your initial reaction with this case?
I think, first of all, it was – normally it would be such a sensitive case because you're dealing with I don't even know what to call him, because he said he's never touched a child. So he's not technically a pedophile, but he has those thoughts. So then you have those mm-hmm. questions and moral ability and responsibility to take into mm-hmm. consideration. But then you also have, again, that big word, empathy, throughout this mm-hmm. episode, because he's trying to help himself. There's not a doctor because of rules and regulations and different reasons that are put in place in the medical field necessary. But they can't help him to the best of their ability because of those things. And I just think that, like you said, the way the show handled the whole situation throughout the episode was with care and attention. And it did pull your strings as, like, what would you do? That's why I kept thinking, what would I really do if I was one of his doctors? What mm-hmm. would I do? And then secondly, how did I feel just as a human being? And he can't be around his sister now, who they've had great relationships with because of this, and her children. And that probably has to hurt, because you want to be an uncle, I'm sure. And especially if you and your sister are close. And I'm
yeah.
thinking, well, you know, what if this happened to my brothers? Like, what? How would I feel? Of course, it would be such a tug of war, because you don't want your children around just on the instance he can't control mm-hmm. himself. And then your child is now affected for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
But then you do want him around, because it's your uncle and this is my best friend and, you know, it's family. So I think I didn't decide one way or another. I was mad at the end of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
We can jump there really quick.
Of course.
That he essentially decided his own fate, because I just still wanted the help for him, and I wanted them to be able to find, excuse me, whatever loophole or whatever yes that they could end up getting from the doctors or Dr. Andrew, however high up they needed to go in order to help him. Again, what is that help? I don't know. I don't think I agreed with him seeing the psychiatrist, and then he could become depressed about it, and then they give him depression meds, because I think that would intensify that would intensify his feelings of it and make him not be able to stand his ground so much and not have to touch a child mm-hmm. inappropriately. But yeah, I was just upset about the end, because I wanted him to get the help and I wanted to see that part.
Yeah. I feel like it was, as a viewer watching it, it's very easy to kind of have the same reaction Morgan initially had with this patient.
Definitely.
Where, you know, she kind of jumped the gun and was like, this guy is a pedophile, even though he says, I'm not a monster, even though I have monstrous thoughts. But at that point, it's very, you know, you kind of have to take him at his word for it. This guy just came into your ER. You don't really know his backstory. You don't really know if he has a criminal record. You don't really know if he, you know, is being truthful to what he is saying. So it's very easy to have Morgan's reaction.
Definitely.
But then I feel it takes a completely different turn when he goes as far as to mutilate himself because he wants so badly to not have these feelings. He wants so badly to not act on his urges. And I feel like that, as for Morgan, was kind of also a point where she realized, okay, maybe this guy really does have a psychological disorder that needs to be addressed and we need to help him. And I think as an audience, it also kind of makes you think empathetically. Again,
definitely.
The big word of this big word of this episode of what this patient is going through.
And I think also, too, another point that I kind of just sunk in my couch was that when they had him on the operating table and they were going to go ahead and mutilate his genitals.
Yes.
But then he couldn't because he would lose too much blood and ultimately end up dying. That was heartbreaking for me. I'm like, gosh, darn. Because I thought that was going to be the thing. Like, okay, they found a way. They're going to do it. But now it's going to kill him. And so they couldn't do it. And to then have to deliver that news to him because at that time, they're both on board trying to, you know, help him with his urges and to help improve his overall life. I'm sure he had to be essentially isolated, you know, because there's not much you can do if these urges are that strong and you not be out in general public and not see children, you know. But I feel, again, that the writers, the producers, everyone on the show handled it with such care that it didn't seem like a taboo conversation and I didn't feel uncomfortable putting myself in either of their shoes, himself, his sisters, the doctors, anyone, and to understand each angle. And I guess you still can't because you're not actually in that area or in their shoes to make a decision, a decisive decision, excuse me. But I think it did just, I guess, humanize us all if you watched it. Yes.
Yeah. I think one of the greatest things about this particular patient case is that it really opened itself up to education. Mm-hmm. It really opened itself up to hopefully have an audience go in and be like, this is something I have never heard of. I'm very curious to know more.
Right.
Because I was reading an article by IndieWire, and it kind of said something along those lines of it really does open up to education because, you know, for someone who goes in with this kind of psychological disorder, the psychologist is looking for someone who is seen as a danger. And it said something along the lines of that these kinds of patients don't really get the proper help that they need because they are fighting their urges.
Right.
And so I felt like, again, this episode really did open up the component of education to try and bring something like this to light and realize, okay, you know, this is something else that's out in the world and we should address it with care.
And I think it's one of the reasons why I love this show so much too, because you are always learning, always learning. And again, the whole cast, the writers, the producers, everyone does it with such care and it draws you in so much that you want to learn more. And if you're not learning more, then it gets your thought process of changing maybe how you would think initially. And it allows you to empathize with the characters in the show. So that's one of the reasons why it's my favorite show.
It's always, it is. It's such a great show.
Yes, it is.
And again, we have one more announcement. Tequila did an amazing job of letting you all know that we have so many after shows that you can catch us on YouTube, but you can also catch us on iTunes, just in case maybe you didn't. Just in case you weren't able to watch us, you can also take us with you on the go and listen to us. So please go to iTunes, look us up, rate, review, and subscribe. We love seeing your comments and your interactions. And in fact, I would really like to give a shout out to Happy Day After Buzz and Joyful Kia. I would like to give a shout out to Joyful Kia saying thanks so much for the positive in-depth thoughts on this show. I am so ecstatic that you are finally reviewing my favorite medical drama. I miss you guys last season, so it's a treat / de-stressor to hear your insight every week. Hope you have a great week. Much love to you. Keep up the good work with your videos and stay positive. Thank you so much, Joyful
Kia.
Yes,
thank you.
We love seeing your comments. We love seeing that you love talking about the show with us. We clearly love being here. And so please go rate, review, and subscribe, because we love giving shout outs and we love seeing what your thoughts on our show as well. Let's jump into our other patient case revolving around Sean, Park, and Lim with the character Billy. So this character is in juvie and, you know, he's being beat up because of a cosmetics issue with the way he looks. What did we think about the kind of differences with Park wanting to help him so that way he could have a better life, but Sean disagreeing because he thinks it's not medically necessary?
I think we know for the most part that Sean follows the book because that's how he's trained, not only because of his job, but just in his mind as well. I think I was waiting for it to come out, like Dr. Park maybe was in juvenile at some point in his life, or maybe he was an abused child as well. So that's why he grew so quickly to Billy and just attached himself so quickly and understanding Billy.
It would make sense because I feel like the last couple of patient cases Park has worked on, they have connected in some way and we've learned a little bit about his past. So I wouldn't have been surprised if it went that way.
Right. That's what I was kind of waiting to happen, but whatever. I feel like he wanted to, I'm sure we'll see more, but like give that child a second start, like a new life, a new start in life as well. I feel like he might have been granted that at some point in his life. And he wanted to be the one to give him that as well. It did take a couple of moments or just some insight in which I love about Sean too, which is kind of how I am, because if I don't officially agree with someone's idea or thought or process, I go and ask people that I trust and people that I know or maybe in the same profession and see what their thoughts are, so that can help me come to a definite decision or empathize, understand where the person comes from. Yeah, I'm probably going to say it three more times, so forgive me. But you see how he goes to the people he does trust and gets their opinions. And everyone kind of has, I think it all was the same result, but just situational or depending on what part in your life or who it is in your life that you may need to exert empathy, or you may need to allow somebody else to exert empathy because you could be too close to the situation or the person. But I loved how he went in his own way to get that research and then come up with his own decision, which ended up helping the little boy and just making him feel better about himself, and to erase something that he had to physically live with about being beaten by his dad. And you have to see that on your face every day.
I think that was also something that Sean struck a chord with, because he had a very rough upbringing with his parents as well.
Exactly. And so just to have that mark on your face and to look in the mirror or look at yourself and then again be even tortured or bullied because of that, I think that will be the new start for Billy's life.
Mm-hmm. A big thing for all of our characters, but particularly Sean, was him trying to better communicate and better empathize with his patients, because he is very by the book. He is very about facts. And so I feel like him turning around and kind of helping make Billy's life better, because, you know, him being in juvie and him looking the way he looks, like, it causes him trouble. He was beaten very badly, and that's how he ended up in the hospital. And Park even said, you were just helped save this man's life.
Right.
Because now that's not going to be something that people look at and look as a vulnerability and look to pick on or like attack him for anymore.
Which I think is always the ultimate goal for Dr. Murphy. I think he wants to save lives or better lives. So he had to, again, go through his process to see how he could help. And then when he found out a way to help, that was the end of it. And then you get the, I don't want to use success as a word, but you get the pleasure, you get the overall feeling that you did promote better life to someone else, or give better life to someone else. And then also, I think I love that he's so aware, and it was a moment that I just was like, wish I could have gave him a hug. Because he's like, well, because he is autistic, that part of his mind does not allow him to be empathetic towards people. So he doesn't know how that works or and to show those feelings. So that's also the reason why he, number one, knows that he's not empathetic, but two, went to everyone to see how he could learn how to be or to show empathy in what ways and hows and whys, you know, the what, where, who's and all of that, for him to process it and then use it to the best of his ability, and which I think he accomplished.
Now, very quickly, would you say, in your personal opinion, answer the question, do you need empathy to be a good doctor?
Ooh.
It's a very loaded question.
I don't think I can say yes or no.
I think it's a very situation by situation.
I think it is situational based because, again, you don't want to become too attached to your patient or the issue that your patient is having. However, you do want to be the best doctor. And so I think you do have to show that you are sensitive.
You have to have a good balance.
Exactly. So yes and no?
Yes and no. No. Okay. I would agree. You need a good balance. And it is a very case-by-case basis of how much you empathize with a patient's story. Very quickly, let's talk about Dr. Andrews and what is up with him trying. He is put under this deadline of trying to hire a new chief of surgery, and he just turns it all around. He's like, I'm going to keep my title.
See, I wanted more of an uproar for everybody that was in that room, and I knew it was going to be some type of plot twist. I thought maybe he was going to take one of the attendees and like super promote them to chief or something. I really didn't think he was going to stay in that position, and I think the what is her name, the one that's essentially above him for the charity, I can't
Allegra
think. Allegra, thank you. I wanted to call her Alexa. Allegra, I think she pushed him into that a little bit when she's made the statement of him, his weakness has always been decision making or something,
and
of those words.
He's trying to find someone who could be him, but no one could be him but him. And I don't know, I don't even know if he, I mean, he can, I guess, because he is keeping the title, but I think that's clearly too much to take on.
I think so, too.
Being both the president of a hospital and a chief of surgery.
I think it was a pride thing.
It's definitely a pride thing.
Alex Allegra got into his mind, and so he was like, well, you're right. I am trying to look for me, so the choice is me.
Yeah.
Which I think will come to a collision at some point, but I... Again, like she said initially, too, he hasn't even been out and around and observing his the surgeons enough to get a feel of how they do operate. And they came out so much so that it started to just make everyone uncomfortable and not work to the best of their ability. So I was glad when Dr. Melendez asked him to step out, but he did undercut
Lim
instead. So I didn't like how that played out, but it was, it did bring attention to him. Like, you either are here often enough, however often that cycle needs to be 2 to 3 times a month, shadowing us, you know, giving good feedback and bad feedback at the same time, or don't do it at all, because then you are in the ER and you're monitoring them and everything is already high stakes, or you're in the surgery room and I can make one little mistake or one huge mistake because I know you're over my shoulder and I know you're watching.
Exactly.
And I felt that kind of intensity too when everyone was like, Dr. Lim, asked Sean, like, is he still up there? And Sean's like, yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't think that was the best decision. We'll see how that plays out. But I think it was just a little bit of pride and he just got really excited about himself.
It's a lot of pride.
Yeah.
Very quickly, let's go into one of our special segments. Sean says, now we've done this a bit in the past where we love Sean's dialogue. He has some very great emotional lines, some very great comedic lines, and we like to highlight those every single episode. So some of the ones that I really enjoyed came from the DMV part of the episode where he says, I got every answer correct on the written test except one because it was improperly worded and I told the DMV they need to rewrite it.
And they said they would take it into consideration.
And, and then another one is, I really just like how in his Sean way was so excited to say, I can drive this hoopty. It was very fun. And of course, the very hard-hitting, loaded question, do you need empathy to be a good doctor, it really was a big question that made not only the characters have to think about it, but us as an audience. This whole episode tested a lot of us, and which I really enjoyed. So those were just a few lines that we really liked about Sean.
And I liked also, too, that he was talking to Albert. And I think I like Herbert first, but we know Herbert died. But I like Albert, too, I think.
Albert!
But I feel like I wish they would have went with a cat or dog. And I know I'm going back a couple of episodes, but because I feel like they needed a more playful, a more energizing animal than the fish.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved just his conversations with Albert.
That
was good, too.
That's great. Now, we are going to do another segment. One, a brand new one we have never done on this show before. Now, this show, The Good Doctor, obviously shows our residents being amazing at their job. They save lives. And we wanted to highlight a real life good doctor, someone who is really making strides in the medical field.
Yes.
So Tequila, please take it away.
Yes. Yeah, so we'll start off with Dr. Charmaine Lawson Baker. She's from New Orleans, Louisiana, and she's a nationally recognized and award-winning nurse practitioner. She's received numerous honors and awards for her contributions in healthcare. She started becoming a practitioner in 2000, but mainly came out in 2008 with Hurricane Katrina. And that was because of her efforts to try to help everyone that she came across, whether it was on the streets, on the dome, or personal phone calls or home calls, because the hospitals were one, overcrowded, or two, you just couldn't get in at the time. And so she decided, or came up with the idea, to just start. She would give people her phone number and was like, you take this medication, call me in 2 to 3 days, and then I'll come back to you. And she just kept doing it for other people, and word got around. So then she started her own business as being a house call nurse practitioner, which ended up being her entrepreneurship advantage eventually. She does have 20 other nurses under her and her company now, that they go from home to home and provide health care to patients. She does also a couple of different shows. She was titled, on a show with Katie Couric when she was anchoring, and they had a special episode with her there. She's also connected with Johnson & Johnson. They had a campaign called Discover Nursing Campaign, which she's also an author, and her author title is Nola the Nurse, And so Johnson & Johnson took Nola the Nurse as their highlighted nurse to promote their Discover Nursing campaign to make a global impact around the world. And that was featured in 2016. And she also has done many other interviews on ABC, NBC, CNN, you know, the whole bulk of our news rankings. So then after Katrina, and she started, you know, getting other nurse practitioners to kind of help her around New Orleans area, she decided to be an author. Now, her books were because she wanted to tell her daughter, or show her daughter, what she did at work, because she had so many questions about what mommy does at work. And it's not really, if you ever had the take your child to work days when you were younger. So her job's not really one that she could do. And she always felt bad about it. And so she wanted to find different books and information for her children at one point to kind of learn about what she does. And since they couldn't see it up front, they could just read through it and get the feelings and to have that conversation. And she couldn't find any books. So that led to her becoming an author. And she has books, again, is based on Nola the Nurse, which is her basically. And Nola goes around town in different areas. She helps her friends if they fall off bikes and they get scrapes. Little incidences that children between the ages of 4 and 15 can understand in their language.
That's
and learn
amazing.
About just giving and providing help to Nola. And she does have a group of friends as well. Some of her series are called Nola the Nurse and Friends, and they're different doctors and are practitioners within the hospital community to help those around the area. So we'll give a very, very huge shout out to Dr. Charmaine Lawson Baker, and
definitely,
just to see how something tragic could help you if you think out of the box enough to do more in the world. And so, yes, Dr. Charmaine Lawson Baker.
That is a great story. These are such really great feel-good stories.
Definitely.
So to all of those watching and to all of those listening, if you know of a good doctor that you want us to highlight, let us know. And it doesn't have to be a doctor. It could be a nurse. It could be a researcher. It could be a technician. It could be anyone you feel is making really great progress in the medical field. We would love to highlight some more real-life good doctors.
Definitely.
So thank you so much, Tequila. That
was
such an amazing story to be told. Now, real quick, because we're running out of time, let's go into some rapid fire predictions for next week.
Okay.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Oh, that was a quick one now.
Rapid fire.
Okay, rapid fire. There we go. I really don't like giving predictions because you just don't
it's
know
hard
what to
do
with this show in particular.
Yeah.
But I do love the relationship, and I just want to see more of how Leah and Sean build and support and continue to be friends with one another. Claire, I think she's going to end up leaving. And I don't know if the grass is going to be greener on the other side for her, but I do understand her point in trying to find other hospitals to go be an attendee at, because like she did say, Dr. Melendez is stunting her growth. Mm-hmm. So I do understand that. Not to say that she was in the wrong. I think maybe her approach, because she was on her be more aggressive high feedback. Yep. But I do think she is going to see what it's like. I think she's going to take some interviews and see what it's like. I don't think the grass is going to be greener on the other side. But Dr. Park and Morgan, I love that they essentially what may be seen as bump heads, but I think that's going to make them grow more too as doctors and attendees. I've seen a lot of comments that they want them to be together. I don't think so. No. I don't really see any of them being together. I think we'll have new people come in to whom Claire will date, or Morgan, or whoever. I don't think it's going to be each other like we kind of, you know, see with most of our other hospital-based TV shows.
Yeah. What I liked about this episode was that we finally got to see Morgan and Claire kind of on the same page and being supportive of one another, instead of Morgan taking jabs at Claire.
Yes.
And so I would really love to see more of that relationship growing and being on the same page and, you know, women supporting women. I would love to see more of that. Andrews has been kind of absent, and so I like the fact that he's been coming back the last couple episodes, but I really want to know, like, if it's going to become too hard to juggle both of these, and if he will eventually have to hand off the chief of surgery. Mm-hmm. And so we'll see if that will be up in the air again for either Melendez or Lim. And again, and I keep making this prediction, I really hope Glassman, you know, takes his health into his own hands and, you know, really trusts Sean and his doctors when it comes to his recovery. So I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing all of that in the next couple episodes. But until then, Tequila, where can the fans find you on the internet?
Again, I've missed you, and I'm so glad I have come back now that my life is easy. I am Tequila. You can find me at Tequila_IAM.
And I'm Veronica Malenzi. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @itsme_Veronica_V. Thank you again so much for tuning into the Good Doctor After Show. We love talking about the show, so remember to come back next week. See you guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.